Thank you for the children's story and the music this morning. The scripture that I would like to read before I begin my message this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. There is no bulletin insert this morning, so I'm reading from the New International Version. So if you have that, I invite you to pull it out or just to listen. And then I would like to read it from a different version, which is quite similar but has a little bit of different twist on it. First is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, from the New International Version. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And this is Eugene Peterson's version of it from The Message. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, to life together, to the common meal, and to prayers. Everyone was in awe, all those wonders and signs done through the apostles. And all the believers lived in such wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned, and they pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at the home. Every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw. Every day their number grew as God added those who were saved. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for all the blessings you gave us and have given us over the years. We thank you for the blessing of life together here at church. We thank you for the blessing of our children, the youth. And Lord, most of all, we thank you for the blessing of your word, both the living word, your son, Jesus Christ, and the written word found in scriptures. Lord, open up our eyes and our ears and our hearts to hear whatever it is you have to say to each of us this morning through your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we are beginning unit 2 of our new series entitled A New Creation. Part 1, which was on believing, and it's important, and very important actually, that we start with believing, because when it comes to church, it is our believing in Jesus Christ which is supposed to shape our identity. The church is not just a social club or a fellowship or even just a community. It is a community which is formed around the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as both Savior and Lord over people's lives. I don't think that there's anyone who has written a more accurate picture about what the community of the church is supposed to look like than Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in his book, Life Together, a brief and powerful book shortly before he was put to death by the Nazis in Germany, just 2 weeks before Hitler was finally defeated. He wrote in his book, Life Together, Christianity means community through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. No Christian community is anything more or less than this. And it is grace, nothing but grace, that we are allowed to live in community with fellow believers. Well, for Anabaptists and Mennonites, community has always been a very important part of our Christian faith. Apart from discipleship, following Jesus, it is the strong sense of community that drew me to the Mennonite Church. Growing up Catholic and being part of a very large Catholic church, I couldn't even tell you the names of 90% of the people that I went to church with on any given Sunday. It's hard to get any sense of community in a church that size, which brings up a good question. How big does a church need to be to be the church that God calls us to be. Studies tell us that human beings can only be in communal relationships with so many people, and Facebook doesn't count. Of course, even for Mennonites, it always hasn't worked out the way we had hoped, or the way that we draw it up on paper, or the way that the early church is described there in the book of Acts, chapter 2. And I know the early church, which was established at Pentecost, had probably the greatest indwelling of God's Holy Spirit in the history. But human beings are still human beings. And my guess is that the early church wasn't as pristine as the church is described there in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Yet that doesn't mean that is not God's desire for each and every church around the world. Unfortunately, it seems that we spend so much time trying to find or trying to become the church that is perfect, that for all practical purposes, we are not even the church that God wants us to be. God doesn't want perfect churches. He wants churches which are faithful to his calling as a body of Christ. It's really hard confessing our faults and our sins to one another, forgiving one another, when we don't even have any sins and faults to confess to one another or to forgive. That's meant to be a hypothetical statement. It's hard to bear with one another when we all think alike and are alike, or maybe the correct statement is we think we are alike, or we make ourselves think we are alike. Why do we think that we should all be alike when God created us all individually with so much diversity? You see, the church is more the community that God desires us to be, not when everyone looks alike or thinks alike or acts alike or agrees with everyone and everything. The church is the community that God desires it to be when there is lots of diversity, when there's different age groups represented, when there's different ethnicities, different races, different cultural backgrounds, different social strata represented, the rich, the poor, and all those in between, different educational levels, all gathered around the centrality of Jesus Christ as the people's Savior and Lord. The church that God desires the church to be in our fallen and broken world is not pretty, perfect, and pristine. It is imperfect, ugly, and messy. And in the midst of all the ugliness and the messiness and the sinfulness, God calls us to live together in community. You see, staying together in community has always been difficult, even in the early church. We find in the letter of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 25, which was written most likely less than 50 years after that passage from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, it says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." But we also need to recognize that there might not be a greater pull to not engage in Christian community than in 21st century America. There are just so many dynamics that fight against us staying in Christian community, like the rise of individuality or the loss of the established churches being one of the foundational pillars of most communities. More and more options and expectations vying for our time, attention, and money. The lack of biblical knowledge and the understanding of what Christian community really is. Thinking that we can find the perfect church fights against us staying in Christian community. Thinking that we need to agree on everything fights against us staying in Christian community. Lack of love, mercy, truth-telling, and forgiveness fights against staying in Christian community. not wanting to be accountable to anyone other than God, fights against us staying in Christian community. But here's the truth from the Bible. One cannot be accountable to God and not be accountable to other people. It's an impossibility. It's an oxymoron. When Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment of the law, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets, basically meaning everything in the scriptures, hangs on these two commandments. We cannot love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul without being in community with other people. I will even go out on a limb and say, being in a Christian community and staying in a Christian community is almost as much of a training ground for being a Christian and a witness for Christ in the world as being married and staying married is. Over the past couple of years, we have buried and celebrated the lives of many of our older saints, like Roselle Kaufman yesterday. Most of them were a part of this church for their entire lives. I wonder, 25 or 50 years from now, how many of our people will be able to say the same thing about? And it's not just our church, it's any and every church. As a whole, the Mennonite Church, with its emphasis on the importance of community throughout its history, has a better record in that area than many churches. And in no way am I saying that people should never leave a church. Things happen in people's lives, people's beliefs change, transitions take place in people's lives, youth and young adults need to accept the Christian faith for themselves, but we need to be aware of the cultural forces that are working against the building and the maintaining of Christian community and how it affects our witness. This passage this morning from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, has been foundational for the church being the church throughout its 2,000-year history. There are certain elements in that passage that have been essential to being the church, most churches emphasizing one or two over the others. Five specific elements. One is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. A church that is not centered around the Word of God, both the person of Jesus and the written Word found in Scripture, is a church in name only. It is not the church that God created it to be. Many Protestant churches that came about after the Reformation emphasized the written Scripture over everything else. For Mennonites and Anabaptists, the emphasis has been on the living Word found in the life, the teaching, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus first, and the Word found in Scripture next. Not just the Gospels or the New Testament, but all of Scripture. When they found discrepancies, that they gave precedent first to the teachings of Jesus, then the New Testament, believing that God chose to reveal himself to us over time, culminating in his full revelation in Jesus Christ. The second essential element of the New Testament church is the breaking of bread, meaning the Lord's Supper or communion, which is done weekly by many, even daily by some, monthly, quarterly, and less often by others, as a celebration and as a reminder of the centrality of Jesus' death and resurrection as a community. For Roman Catholics, it is the participation in the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup, which is the primary focus of them being the church. Unfortunately, sometimes it has come at the expense of the Word of God found in Scripture. A third element is prayer, which has over the years has been expressed in many different ways and styles. Meeting together regularly, not only to worship, but also in fellowship, meeting in people's homes and in the sharing of meals together. And then it says that they held everything in common. The early church even sold their property and their possessions to give to those who were in need. But we need to remember, for the early Christians, they thought that Jesus' return was imminent. Today, 2,000 years later, we are still awaiting Jesus' return. Sharing our possessions and properties today looks different. We don't sell them all and give all the proceeds to the church. We do so today in the form of tithes and offerings. Traditionally, many in the church have believed that the tithe is 10% of our income, which we give to the church, and the offering is that which is over and above it, which we give to special offerings like our My Coins Counts project, or we give to specific agencies like Mennonite Central Committee or Mennonite Disaster Service or specific missionaries. In the Old Testament, the tithe was the minimal expectation. In the New Testament, the expectation for believers was even greater in every area of their lives. All one needs to do is to read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. Generosity in the eyes of God doesn't really begin until we go over that which is expected. Five essential ingredients of the New Testament church: the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, the breaking of bread, participating in the Lord's Supper or communion on a regular basis, prayer, fellowship apart from meeting at church, and generosity. For the past couple of years, Ohio Conference of the Mennonite Church and its congregations have been focusing on an initiative entitled Gathered and Sent. Throughout all of human history, God's people have been both a gathered people and a sent people. God calls a people to himself, and then he sends his people out to do ministry and to be a blessing to other people. The truth is that we need both. We need balance. Belonging in community is more about the gathered part. The closer we are as a community of followers of Jesus Christ, the better witness we give to a lost and dying world. Even as Christians in the church, we often operate as individuals, or pockets of individuals, or family units. But that is not the way God intended the church to be. He calls us as individuals, but he doesn't want us to remain as individuals. He calls us to be a people, a community, one family, a body of Christ, and then he sends us out. Some of Jesus' last words to his original disciples, as recorded in the Gospel of John after his resurrection, and then just before his ascension back into heaven: as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So what can we do to strengthen our community? Well, this past week, several of us went out to Kirkmont Camp in anticipation of our annual retreat in August 10th through 12th. And I think all of us came away with excitement about the potential for having a great weekend. Lots of activities that we can get involved in, like swimming and canoeing and fishing, a ropes course and a climbing wall, lots of trails and nature areas, places to relax and sit, if that's what you like to do, and accommodations which seem a lot better than what we've experienced the last couple of years at Camp Ketubic, especially if you are one of those that would like to stay in a room instead of a tent. But you don't have to stay there at night either. It is close enough that you can commute and participate in all the activities. Most of all, it is a way of strengthening our belonging together in community. So we would invite you to mark your dates, save it on your calendar, and pray and think about how you might like to participate. There are many areas that I cannot articulate in words as good as others have done so. These are from our Confession of Faith and a Mennonite perspective on what it means to be the Church of Jesus Christ. We believe that the Church is the assembly of those who have accepted God's offer of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The Church is the new community of disciples sent into the world to proclaim the reign of God and to provide a foretaste of the Church's glorious hope. The Church is the new society established and sustained by the Holy Spirit. The Church, the body of Christ, is called to become even more like Jesus Christ, its head in its worship, ministry, witness, mutual love, and care, and the ordering of its common life. The Church is the assembly of those who voluntarily commit themselves to follow Christ in life and to be accountable to one another and to God, while recognizing the Church is imperfect and thus in constant need of repentance. Well, yesterday, as I mentioned, we buried one of our saints, Roselle Kaufman. And if there's any question of how much impact we can have on people's lives without leaving our community, just even in the little town of West Liberty, I would like to read a letter that was sent to me, because there was a day, and I think it really wasn't even too long ago, when somebody from our church passed away that just about everybody from church would be here to celebrate, which is not the case today. Not that one is better than another. But I would just like to read this just to let you know how much of an impact you can have on somebody's life without leaving the church, without even leaving this community. This letter is entitled Roselle Kaufman's Impact on My Life by Walter Kassam. Roselle Kaufman was my music teacher for 2 years, a very long time ago. I owe her more than I can express. I had other teachers after I left her. Some of them were more famous, more expensive, and perhaps knew things Roselle did not. But the truth is that through the years, my ideal piano teacher has been a great deal like Roselle, whether I was conscious of it or not. She was the perfect teacher for me at the time that I met her. She taught piano technique, music theory, a variety of great repertoire, how to practice, how to make a phrase, and how to perform. She also taught me important lessons in manners, which was every bit as important for a 13-year-old student. I can remember I was a little bit disappointed when we moved away and my next piano teacher did not give me foil stars in an assignment book. I regret that I did not get more opportunities to learn from her. The last time I spoke with her on the phone, I was thanking her for giving me a book of Spanish piano pieces exactly 50 years before and telling her that I had just played those pieces in Indiana. The book was a present she made when I moved away. I worked hard on the music in the book, and I played in many times and in many places. Incidentally, Roselle drove rather far to have me play a recital several years later. Walter Cassant is just retiring from the music faculty at Arizona State University. He has played the piano around the world, from the West Liberty Salem Junior High School gym to Carnegie Hall. And he's not alone. There's a handful of other people that are in the same position that he is because of the influence of Roselle Kaufman on his life. And that's the power that we have as a community of faith, both here in this church and in our local community. Let us pray. Lord God, we come before you today confessing that we are an imperfect body. We are imperfect as individuals, and we are imperfect as your community of faith. And yet, Lord, you do not call us to be perfect. You call us to be faithful, to be in community with one another, and to use the gifts that you have given us to encourage one another, to confront one another, to support one another, to love one another, to forgive one another, and to be your witness in this community that you have placed us in. Lord, continue to help us to grow, especially as we look over these next several weeks of what it really means to be a community called together. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.